You see, as a human being, you assume you got no understanding, no knowledge. Then you ask yourself, why did the Buddha say every living being is a fine aggregate of form and mind? He defined it so that you can understand who are you, what are you, and you can understand clearly how you function as a human being or as a living being. So he said, the easiest way is to ask yourself, who are you? What are you? So very easy. I draw like that, you will understand. So this one is what the human being is all about. Yeah? Human being, for our case. So the first one is the physical form. Okay? Then let's say this one is the consciousness trapped inside. Yeah? Consciousness or mind trapped inside, which is initially we tend to recognize it as the mundane mind. Then this one is the physical body. Physical body. So this physical body is what the Buddha called the form aggregate or rupa. Then he said to understand the mind, he subdivide into four more aggregates. To understand this, very easy. What can your mind do? It can feel, it can perceive that. So the other aggregate is feeling. That's why he subdivided into feeling, then perception. Then what else can your mind do? Yeah? What else can your mind do? Think a lot, isn't it? Become emotional, isn't it? Yeah? Then input the content of consciousness, isn't it? Which is your mental intention, yeah? Your whatever planning, scheming, your fear, your worry, your anxiety. So all this is what Sankhara is. Means all your content of consciousness or thinking or mental intention and everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception, is also Sankhara. But he separate feeling and perception because he need to use these two to teach a lot of essential Dhamma. That's why in the summary of his universal characteristic, he always says, Sabbe Sankhara Anicchang. You realize or not? Then Sabbe Sankhara Dukkhang. Then Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. But he never say, Sabbe Vedana Sanya Sankhara Vinyanang Anicchang. He never. He only repeat one by one. Vedana Anicchang. Vedana Anatta. So what he did is, Sankhara is everything your mind can do, including feeling and perception. So this one is, the whole thing is content of consciousness. So this content is like, there is a receptacle, understand not? You remember last time I told you, we are spacious awareness. Because we have this spacious awareness nature. So from this spacious awareness nature, when you want to perceive something or know something through the mundane mind, we shrink this fellow into a small space. So when you shrink this spacious awareness nature into a small space, it becomes like a container, understand? Within this space, then you input the content of consciousness. This one is through memory, which is your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, etc., including your fear, phobia, insecurity, etc. All your accumulated memory. So this becomes the content that goes in. And this receptacle, external one, is the shrunken consciousness. So this receptacle, this one is called Vinyanang. So this last one is consciousness, the pure consciousness or Vinyanang. So now you understand, this content of consciousness that go in are feeling, perception, and Sankhara. Then this one become a thought. After the content of consciousness go in, this one become a thought. And this is the second aspect of the five aggregate of four. This is the first aspect as a human being. Understand? Not? The mind, the Buddha subdivided into feeling, perception, aggregate of mind and consciousness, which is this fellow. But within here, the mind has only four aggregates. How does the form enter the mind? Because this one don't have a physical form. Understand? But how do you know the external form? Through what? Memory, which is perception as well. You perceive it through memory. So this is the one, the sanya aggregate, brings the external form into the mind. So this is the rupa, the mental form. So this mental form enters the mind. Mental form. So this is what we call the second aspect. Five aggregate of form and mind. The second aspect. So this is how you understand it. And this one, at the mental level, the second aspect is what the Buddha wants you to understand. This one is in the paticca samuppada. How your mind functions as a human being. Then when you understand them this way, then you can really develop the Dhamma investigation to find out whether all these five aggregates is real or not. Whether it's you, a permanent unchanging entity or not. That's how the teaching become clear, the understanding become very clear. Without mindfulness, without awareness, without this understanding, you cannot. You try to ask Jay Krishnamurti. He will not teach you like that. He cannot explain it like that. He will tell you what he knows. That's it. He said, this one is not real. That's all. Finish. Yeah. Because he don't have a structure to teach. But he has a lot of wisdom. He went into that nature. He knows what that nature is. That's why he can share with you a lot of very peculiar understanding that is unique to him. You can say all those saying that he share as teaching is his unique understanding, or I won't call it unique code, it's his unique teaching, anasana. So for those who have the understanding and the realization, they understand all this very easily and very clearly. But,
Brother, just to stress the second aspect of five aggregates of form and mind, which Brother said is very important. It's what the Buddha tried to teach us. So I just want to quote this example that Sister Cindy and myself just now, when after paying respect at the Verochana Buddha, Ta Shung Pao Tien there, we came out with to wear our shoes lah. Then we heard very clear sound of kring kring like that.
Oh, sadhu.
So at first we were hearing very loudly. So it's just a direct hearing. But very fast our friend said, I see her expression, I know the focusing already string to the spot, the small spot. So how come ice cream man here? So this is the I just want to make it very clear to you and to all of us, especially
Sadhu.
Come to me just now.
So that she can develop the understanding of it. Because when you have the awareness and the sati, you perceive it differently. You see, because there is a pure perception without the words. So without the words, you know how the working of the mundane mind is. Because of all this memory, then you input the content and you create the thought. That's why Krishnamurti say, thought is limited. Why? Because from spacious awareness, which is the oneness, it shrink to this one. So this is what Engbi perceive and realize, that this is what is happening. And that movement from memory, memory, which is the content of consciousness, go in very fast. But when you are aware, it don't shrink. You can, with the awareness, clarity. Because no word, nothing. It is that thing as it is. But you want to know, you can know. Understand? You want to understand? You can understand. But we live in a conditioned world. We cannot deny that. That's why all these teachings, they exist within the conditioned world. But when you go to that nature, you realize they are all not real, empty, not what you think. The difficult part about the teaching, the Buddha Dharma, is you must approach it from both aspects of understanding, the unconditioned Dharma and the conditioned Dharma. You must develop the wisdom and awakening of both. Otherwise, you cannot understand life. You cannot live life. You cannot become, like the Buddha said, an enlightened being. Because the enlightened being is very noble in all aspects of understanding, both the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma. So nowadays, I teach more and zero in more on the understanding of both the conditioned and the unconditioned. In the past, I cannot, because people are not ready, understand? Even to explain all this take a while. But now, many can understand. That's why we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good.
Just to clear curiosity, kring-kring actually is the sound of the chime.
Thank you. Sadhu. That's why the mundane memory was straight away. Oh, ice cream guy selling ice cream. Because they have already used the memory to perceive. Understand? But in the hearing, it's just that consciousness. No word, nothing. Then that thing will re-vibrate in your nature, one with it. The awareness and the vibration is one. Then she will know one. The moment he saw the expression, zoom, already zero in. Understand? The consciousness shrink, the memory went in already. So for those who have the stability of awareness, they can see things as they are. That's why after 1989, when I look at something, no word, nothing one. I can just observe. Then I realize, how come everything is like that? The pristine beauty and wonder of nature. Everything is so pristine. Because to me, it's new. Everything I see with clarity. Like for you all, this one is what? Microphone, isn't it? Did you really see? Your memory, microphone, enough lah. What is there to know? What is there to see? But the direct seeing, he will see without the word one. Then he can see everything. It can be a very old microphone. He don't have that concept and idea. He sees the pristine beauty and wonders of that thing for what it is. Even very decayed building or tree or day tree or what. Last time I like to contemplate and perceive, I see the beauty of it. Even foul thing or what. There is no like duality like, you're smelly or whatever. You live in the world of God, there is the convention that people say the drain is very foul. That's why when I talk to Ben, I also use the conventional reality. Yeah, he very smelly, don't you? Yeah, he is a person with hygiene and he don't like this type of smell. But for me, condition like that, things will be like that. Because you pass by there, you will smell. Then you got two choices. React to it and become miserable or go and do all the funny thing, or just understand and move. Understand? You need to move away so that that thing doesn't really become that bad smell. But you will not have aversion on. You know you can avoid, you avoid. But the reality is, as long as you are within that range, the senses can detect and perceive, then it's up to that individual with the understanding or without the understanding to react. Understand? When you react with like and dislike, means you are trapped in the world of duality. Then all this got power over you. But if you have the Dhamma, you accept the reality and just move, you will laugh, you will smile. Because I tested it in 1989 after I transformed. I walked to SS2 Pasar Malam. As I walk, I pass by the Waisekai where the drain at that time also quite smelly. Then the moment, the first instant of that sense reach my nose, I smile. I said, I smile, I don't react. Then I continue to walk. Then when I reach the other street at the other end where all the stores were there with all the good food, the aroma, I smell it, anasana. Although I know it's good food, but I do not attach or cling. But this is the reality. And I know if I have the means, I want to buy, I can buy. If I want to taste it, I want to try it, I can. I have a choice, anasana. But I won't be affected by what happened. So when you transform, you become like that. The form and mind got no power over you. It cannot deceive and delude you and create all the funny, hideous thinking or entanglement and attachment anymore. The realization free you. Then upon contact, feeling remain as pure feeling. There is no craving. There is no grasping, clinging or desire, must have, must buy. You don't. Got condition? You want to buy? You can afford? You buy. That's why I always say, if you have the means, when you retire or when you reach a stage of life where you can have that, what they call means, pamper yourself a bit, understand? Don't worry about what people say, whoa, enlightened, you cannot eat good food, you pass to me like I eat. Why you want to think like that? Oh, enlightened, you cannot have attachment, simple life, this one cannot, that one cannot. You're trying to live like an enlightened being, no, that one. Because the enlightened being don't live like that one, so they understand one. Everything is just dependent, originating, condition, right? Not what you think. But when you can realize the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda, the fruit of your hard work or cultivation to become an enlightened being, then you can live that phase of life, understand? And the phase of life can be very beautiful and very real. Since 1989 until now, I have been living that phase, which is so beautiful, so meaningful, so wonderful. That's why in the Heart Sutta, I say, true emptiness is wonderful existence. And this is all really what it is. There is such thing as life, existence. It has its own reality, even though form and mind not you. But there is such thing as life. And you must know, within the conditioned world, there is the law of karma. There is right duty you must perform. That's why the Buddha, under the salutation to the Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, he said, this Sangha got four very unique characteristics. Yeah. He said, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, of good conduct. Is the order of the disciple of the Buddha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then after that, the next one is what? Yeah? Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, of upright conduct, is the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then third one is Nyayapatipanno, of wise conduct, is the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. The last one is what? Samichi. Patipanno, Bhagavato, Savaka, of right conduct, of dutiful conduct. He do his duty. Yeah? He live in an existential world. He know there is a right duty towards the law of karma, spiritual law of mind, and law of truth, Dhamma. You cannot violate them. So this is the understanding. Conditioned Dhamma and unconditioned Dhamma, two different. But when you have both, you can live life. If you don't have both, you will attach, you will cling, you will suffer. That's why you have the mundane aspect of life and the supramundane aspect. Although, with the form and mind within the conditioned world and the existential world, your mundane mind can collapse and you can realize the supramundane mind and that one can live. Understand? That's why in true emptiness, there is wonderful existence. And that is for living within the conditioned world. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.